Welcome to the Indian Newsling Podcast.
Good afternoon, Brooke. Welcome to Indian Newsling. We have Brooke Van Velden, Deputy Leader of ACT Party, which is rising rapidly in opinion polls, and they have been releasing policies and programs which have gained a lot of acceptance among the people of New Zealand. Brooke, would you like to start with an opening statement so that that can lead us to ask you a few questions?
Yeah, well, firstly, thanks for having us here, Venkat, and thank you for allowing me to speak with your listeners and readers and viewers. Look, I think our country is really at a crossroads of deciding whether or not we want to be a small Fiji or a Singapore. And we have got the chance to become an aspirational country, but it's only if we take that chance. You know, when I see what's happened with Labour in the past few years, I've never met so many people who say this country feels divided. And people are unhappy with the economy, with crime on our streets, with our educational standards, inability to get healthcare, but importantly, this co-governance that's being forced through government, which is causing friction and resentment to build up in our community.
Right.
Now we have a chance now to say, let's have a change of government. And I think more and more people are wanting a change of government, but it's not enough for me to say, let's just change Chris for Chris and swap a red tie for a blue tie.
Yeah.
We've actually got to have a change of direction, which means proper policy change so that younger kids coming up now can have an affordable home, have good educational standards so they can compete in the world standings with other children from other countries, and they can have a high paying job. That's a thriving economy. So that's what we're standing for in ACT. It's making sure we have an aspirational, hopeful country that people can belong to rather than more of the same.
You have been announcing some policies which are somewhat variant to that of the right wing parties such as National Party, and those policies seems to be gaining acceptance among the people. What do you attribute to this change? Because what ACT has been saying in the past few years is so different from what it is today. And how do you account for the gaining acceptance of your policies?
Well, I think in part, not that many of our policies have changed over the years. But what has changed is people's interest in politics. And since COVID, more people have been following the news and following party politics down in Wellington and have started to feel like they want something different from just red and blue. So more people are coming to ACT and joining our movement because we are at a crossroads where we do have the opportunity to make our country a fantastic place to live. That doesn't mean that we should just have some small tinkers to our economy, small tinkers to justice and health and education. It means proper change.
Yeah.
And I think more and more people are sensing that we can't just have small change and end up with another 6 years of what we've had now, just managed with different people. That we actually do need proper reform in all of those areas so that we become a productive economy. And that's what ACT has always stood for. And so people are just coming on board our movement, and I think that's really exciting because that gives us the opportunity to grow as a country and become a really aspirational, wonderful place to live, something that people can hope for.
In your campaigning, Brooke, you must have been told by people when you meet them, what are the challenges that they're facing? What are the priorities that people are telling you that you should adopt when you come into government?
Yeah, well, the big challenges and priorities that I hear across all of the streets, and I've been spending a lot of my time in Tamaki in particular, is crime. People do not feel safe, and that's across the board. I spent some time in Glen Innes, and when I did my street corner meetings there, somebody literally was shot the night before in the local park. And we've got the Ōraki local shops were ram raided last week by lawless kids. You know, people do not feel safe even walking their dogs in the park in broad daylight. And we're losing our sense of community. So we want to have proper consequences for crime so that we can have our community back. Kids can feel safe to go to the park on their bikes. and we can actually have consequences that mean something again, because I think our standards have slipped. The second thing people are really concerned about is a sense of division, and it's across all forms of government policy, whether it's, you know, Ute drivers versus Tesla drivers, or landlords and tenants, business owners and employees. There's a sense of division being forced by government policy. And the largest one, of course, is co-government. The sense that if you've got two children now growing up in a classroom and they've got different ethnic backgrounds, that somehow they will have different rights when they grow up to be adults. And I think we have to reject that. You know, we have the choice to say, yes, democracy is different, and that means that two children will have separate rights, separate authorities for Māori health, separate seats at boards, or we are all equal and we all have the same vote. And I know which country I'd prefer to live in, and I think that's the country most people have decided to make their home, which is that we are all equal. And it doesn't matter if our families have been here for 15 generations or one, we are all welcome and we're all equal. And that's what ACT stands for. So that's the biggest issues that I've been hearing.
I'll come to co-governance in a moment, bro. About law and order, ACT had initiated this three strikes formula many years ago. Would you bring that back in a refined format or in a more rigid format? What is the change that you're proposing in your law and order enforcement?
We would bring back three strikes law. We would also bring back or start three strikes of burglary. That's important for us so that we have fewer victims. But it's also changing the Sentencing Act and getting rid of what are called cultural reports. So when you've got two people who may have done the exact same crime, judges can give out different sentences based on people's background.
Right.
And we think that's wrong. If you've done the wrong thing, you've done the wrong thing. And if you've done the crime, you should do the time, no matter who you are. So we want to put proper consequences back into our Sentencing Act, and also say that judges, when they're making those decisions, have to take into account the victim's rights and the community's rights for safety on whether or not someone has a prison sentence or a home detention. I think that's acceptable, because I fear that we are losing our community because people are afraid of the lawlessness on our streets. So having those sorts of consequences would be good.
So do you agree that ACT lost the opportunity to correct the law when it was in government in 2008? Would you be forcing the issue when you come into government if you're elected in October, as far as law and order is concerned, that you will insist on a more stringent law and sentencing act?
Well, I don't think we did a disservice when we were last in government. What is different to ACT now than in the past is that we're a larger movement. Now, when we were in the last government, we had one MP, and we managed to get charter schools.
Yep.
They have helped a lot of very, very vulnerable people. ACT has also managed to get the three strikes law across the line. We are a much larger movement now. We can negotiate so much more. So yes, we would bring back three strikes, but that's not where it would end for us. We want to make sure that there are those changes to the Sentencing Act. We want to invest hundreds of millions of dollars more into a new prison facility so that our worst offenders are actually kept away from creating more victims. We'd also like to see changes to education, to health, to our economy and taxation.
Yeah.
We can have real change, but it requires people party voting ACT so that we can actually negotiate for more and for stronger change of government than just national.
I think you've started making a lot of inroads into the people's lives, as it were, because we've conducted two opinion polls. Our opinion polls were not phone-in polls, not asking people to answer in a hurry. We gave them 15 days to actually write in, and law and order was the priority for all the people who took part in our two opinion polls. In both the polls, ACT has done very well. This was across the communities. We put it out in the social media. So what it's telling us is that people have are fed up with the kind of insecurity, with the kind of safety, the loss of safety that they have, not just at their in public places, but you go to retailing, you know, people feel so unsafe compared to that. We've had chats with the police, we've had interactions with. What seems to be lacking is sense of direction from a government. I think if you can address that when you come into government, that would be great. In terms of education, Brooke, what major changes do you think would be ushered in October?
Yeah, really good question. Look, if I can touch briefly on what you're saying about leadership when it comes to crime, I agree. We need complete change of leadership in crime, because one of the worst things that happened was in 2017, Labor got in and they had a target to reduce the prison population by 30%. That was their policy. And they don't meet many of their own targets, but they did actually meet that one. And so you're right, we do need a change of leadership that says, actually, our first duty is to victims and to our community and keeping our community safe, not reducing the prison population, because we've still got crime that's being committed. We've just got more serious offenders serving their sentences on the streets, and that's wrong. We have to turn that around. But on education, look, there's a huge problem that we face, where 40% of kids aren't even going to school regularly. So we're failing kids currently that will have fewer opportunities for the rest of their lives. And that means fewer opportunities for our overall economy and having high paying jobs into the future to help pay for things like superannuation and our healthcare system. We've got to get those kids back into the classroom. So what we'd like to see an act is taking truancy really seriously, like we did with COVID by having a traffic light system. Yeah. Most people understand traffic lights now because of what happened with COVID. But you start with saying, look, if a kid has been turning up quite regularly to school, they're green, they're fine. If they've been truant for a few days, they start becoming orange, and you get to a certain percentage and you say, right, we need to get the parents into the classroom to understand why this kid is not turning up to school regularly, have a family meeting. Hopefully that will solve the problem. If it becomes red, actually saying, we're going to get the police involved now. Your child is constantly truant, they're not turning up. The police will get involved, talk to the family, and if it's not resolved, actually start fining the family. Because we've got to have real consequences for not attending school. If kids aren't attending school, they're not learning anything. A lot of kids, when they're not attending school, are committing crime. That's bad for our community too. But we've got to instill a value that education is worth something. And when you think of an employer thinking of employing a young 20-year-old or 21-year-old, they're expecting them to actually show up. And so we've got to instill the value that somebody will rely on you to actually turn up at some stage when you've got a job. And we've got to get that right from a young age.
Let me ask you a typically political question as the deputy leader of one of the most popular parties now. There has been an element of discomfort in ACT to work with Winston Peters and New Zealand First. But in view of some of the recent statements that Winston has been making, including the one on Maori and their ancestry, how comfortable do you feel, in, if it comes to that, to work with New Zealand First in the next government?
Well, look, I don't feel comfortable working with Winston, because I don't think anybody feels comfortable working with Winston. He's been unable to work with anybody that he's worked with before, and he's fallen out of favour with a lot of people. I think most New Zealanders don't trust Winston, because it's about Winston first, Winston last, Winston always, and not about New Zealand. And we can't just have a party that wants to take New Zealand back. We've actually got to have hope for what our future looks like. And that's what we stand for in ACT. We want to make sure that we walk back really bad Labour Party policies. And let's not forget, Winston was the one who helped Labour put these things there in the first place.
But he
so
seems
he's
to
not
have
going
regretted,
to be the
bro.
Problem. He's not going to be the solution to the problem that he caused. we've actually got to have a future that's focused on aspiration, on equal values for all people, equal vote, equal say around the table. But looking to the future, and I don't think Winston does that, I think ACT does, because we want to work with National, and we can show that we can tightly work together, because I think a lot of our values will align. But what we bring to National is a spine that will hold them accountable. We'll actually say, you have to walk back bad Labor laws, because remember, National have never walked back a Labor Party policy before, and this is not the year to not do that. We have to have change, but that change is very easy to see in National and ACT, less easy to see with a man that you can't trust.
I think ACT will be a good checkmate for nationalists, there's no doubt about it, but you worked so hard, you brought your party to such an acceptable level among the people, and there's a lot more positivity among people. But if you choose to be outside as your leader designated, just because Winston might want to, if the situation so happens, would your party be able to reconsider and then say that, all right, we'll somehow work with him?
Well, look, I've already answered that question, Venkat. He can't work with anybody. We are in politics for the people and for New Zealanders who have asked us to represent them, to have a better future for their children and for the entire country and our economy. We don't want to work with a man who puts himself first. We want to work as a party with people who put themselves last, thinking about the policy options that will lead to a better country for all of us. That's what we're committed to in ACT. We put forward better solutions to our country's problems because we care about the future of our country and we want to give people hope. So yes, we'll work with National, but on no poll have we said that we've needed Winston. There is not a single poll that says...
On co-governance, Brooke, your stand is very clear that it's something that is unacceptable, that so you would reverse whatever Labour has done when you come in, and co-governance is not on your agenda at all.
Co-governance?
Yeah.
That's high on our agenda.
No, it's not acceptable because it's divisive, you said, right?
Oh, I see. Yes, so co-governance is hugely important for us to remove it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So I don't think we can have a future as a country where we are intentionally divided by our laws. We have to be united by them. And remembering, in fact, that we are a wonderful, modern, multi-ethnic liberal democracy, where it's no longer acceptable just to say it's, you know, Māori and Pākehā as though it's the 1950s. We are a melting pot of cultures. And it doesn't matter if you have been here for 15 generations or one. Everybody is welcome, and our laws should reflect that.
What about public health? What kind of changes would you like to bring in when you form the government?
For public health, we want to pay GPs more, so increasing GP capitation. And what that will do is deliver more community-based services so you can get better access to care when you need it in your own community. So we've put aside $163 million to pay GPs 13% more. We would scrap the Māori Health Authority because we see that as unnecessarily divisive and one of those elements of co-government. And in part, we'd like to see more devolution of services. So what that means is we keep the health authority, but have a greater range of services beneath it. So that means you have more access to care that helps with your cultural needs or specific community needs. And so you could end up with contracts under, for example, mental health.
Yeah.
Where people could access mental health in a range of cultural settings, whether that's Indian, Chinese, Māori, or Pacifica, or maybe it could be a particular religion focus. It's important that people access care that actually works for them and that delivers results. So it's a greater range of services, but looking at the data over time to see what has and has not worked to fund adequately some services more and to cut some funding on others that don't work.
Your leader, David Seymour, had picked on one of the aspects of cost cutting, which he says picked up specifically MBIE and said that it's got 6,000 people. I would give on day one stop notice, work stop work notice to at least 50% of them. Don't you think this is would have caused some fear among the voting public that there will be loss of jobs of thousands of people if ACT goes on a cutting spree?
Well, look, I think that the people who will be fearful are people who are doing unproductive work within the bureaucracy. Remember, there are very good civil servants who will be wanting to do the best for the government of the day, who are contributing. But there are a lot of people who are not working on anything that might not necessarily give us productive value. Why is it that people should be spending their money on taxes that doesn't actually provide value? And we've seen taxation and go up, and we've seen the amount spent by the government go up from 80 billion in 2017 to 137 billion today. That's an incredible increase in government spending. And a large portion of that has been in government bureaucracy. Mm. So I don't think it is actually acceptable to say, well, there may be one or two people who could lose their jobs, but we have to continue to keep paying these people. Because if you look at it from a corporate environment, if you were a CEO and you're sitting around with the board of a company and said, we've got 3,000 people in our books, but we can't actually point to what they're doing and what value they're giving us, but we'll just continue to pay them forever, and you'd probably be fired. I think it's important for us to have that same value for money that we would in a company within the government.
There's one aspect I have been asked to take up with you by our readers. This is perhaps not very well specified. ACT stands for less minimum government, off the back of the people, so that people can be productive, businesses can do their business. Employers are today feeling that the employment law is very constructive, that it favors only employees and not employers. Employers are scared of the draconian laws that the employment laws. Will ACT will look into that as well? Have you given any thought to that, of protecting employers as against what it is? You only speak of employee rights and responsibilities, rights and privileges. You know, nobody speaks about the employers. This is what one section of our readers have asked us.
Well, it's a really interesting question. It certainly feels like it's harder and harder to be a small business owner and employ someone now. What we have said we'd bring back are the 90-day trials, because we do want people to take a chance on somebody who may have lost their job in another area, might not be skilled in this particular field, but they actually give them a go. And if it doesn't work out, there's a period of time to say, look, we gave it our best shot, but you don't either fit with the culture or you don't have the relevant skills that we thought we needed for our company, so we will have to let you go. I think that is important to bring back because it gives business confidence in taking a chance on a new employee. But another area we'd be looking to repeal is the fair pay agreements.
Mm.
And that is the main concern that I've heard from employers, to say, look, it's not right that another business or another company or even the government can step in to fix exactly how much I need to pay my own staff. And you look at it from the perspective of an independent butcher. If you're up against butchers like Countdown and New World, who have thousands of staff, if they set a fair pay agreement that was higher than what an independent butcher could afford, they may go out of business. And I think in some ways that could be anti-competitive. So we'd scrap it and say, look, there are individual contracts between an employer and an employee, and it should be fair for what works for both, not set across the board.
Have you got the feeling now that ACT Party has the potential to become a second party instead of a third party? The way the movement has got on over the last few months, I think it's incredible the progress you've made, the acceptance that you've gained amongst the people. What next for ACT?
Well, we're a growing movement, and I'm really excited for the future of our country, where we could get into government and actually steer the ship around. What I think is happening is people are hearing our message, it's resonating, and it's that we want to be an aspirational country. We want a future where every kid is equal, where we have good educational standards, can have access to good healthcare, you can have access to a high-paying job. But it's about our values more than anything, that there is right and there's wrong and there's consequences for crime, and that it is actually rewarding to work and wake up in the morning and provide for your own family. A lot of people are responding to that message about having limited government and more access to do well, to have a fulfilling life for yourself. I'm really excited that more people are coming on board with ACT and that we can actually get some real change across the board.
And how confident you are of implementing all of the promises that you made in the first term?
Well, it really does depend on how many people party vote ACT, depending on how much leverage we can have in a future government.
You're doing very well at the moment, Brooke. So you should have sizable people well enough to influence the next government.
Yeah.
So would you assure the people that you would do all that you promised to do, especially in areas of crime, law and order, education? Education is one of your portfolios?
It's not one of my personal portfolios, okay. But it's a very important one.
Policy for ACT, public health, some of these issues which are really bothering the common people of New Zealand. I think they would like solutions to all these as quickly as possible. Because what we have been told is from disappointment, there is anger towards the existing government.
Yeah.
So they want the government out and they want someone new in. And the mix between National and ACT is one of the preferred options of people. Lastly, how is the response that you've been receiving from the Tamaki constituency, which has thus far been a blue one?
Yeah, well, look, to your first question, I think in part we have a real challenge on our hands. There's no ifs and buts about it. We've had terrible policy reform for the last 6 years, and it would be a complete mistake to say National and ACT will get in and overnight things will change. I think we've got a lot of challenge to walk back bad policy. It's going to take a long time. We've spent, even in the last few months, a lot of time under urgency with bad laws being rushed through. In part, I think it's to make it difficult for us when we form a new government to really start putting our own policy agenda through. We've got to spend a lot of time to try and walk back policies. So we'd like to put through as much as we can, but it is going to be a challenge to walk back those hard policies, and we have to. When it comes to Tamaki, things are looking really, really good. I have loved being out in the community. I've been doing all my street corner meetings and public meetings, and we've just held our 100th street corner meeting on Sunday. Yes, 10 every single Sunday for the last few months, and I've got another 30 to go. And the real feeling is, it is time for change. People are wanting a change of government, but they're wanting a change to a stronger local voice as well. And I think there's a real sense that people would like an influential MP to be the Member of Parliament for Tamaki. And that means having me. And I would love to serve the local community here and bring about some real change.
I think you're a lot more visible in the constituency. You're seen more as a refreshing change here in this area. And we wish you well. And give us a closing statement of what ACT would do, the first three things when you get into government.
Well, the first three things that ACT is hoping to bring around the table with government is having a real discussion about co-government and how we move forward as a modern multi-ethnic liberal democracy where everybody feels welcome and everybody has a voice and everybody has the same vote. I think that's a really important conversation that our country has to have. We've also got to make our streets safe again. Nobody feels safe. So we've got to get in and have leadership from the top that says there is right, there is wrong, and your background doesn't matter. If you've done the crime, you've done the time. That's important. Then we've also got to look at the overall economy. It's not okay for us to just change red Chris to blue Chris and end up with the same policies and the same amounts of wasteful spending. We've really got to cut back on wasteful spending so we have a more productive economy and where people can aspire to work hard and you'll be rewarded for it. That's a hopeful vision for New Zealand that ACT is bringing to the table. That everybody is equal and everybody's valid. Everybody should feel safe on our streets, and everybody should have the chance to have an affordable home in a productive economy with a high-paying job.
Fantastic. Brooke, thank you very much for spending time with us, and we wish you all the best. And anytime you want to make an announcement, we are here for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Indian Newslink podcast.